blessed be his name. No matter what happens to me here on earth, the riches awaiting me after I finish here far outweigh any suffering, any heartbreak. I pray that the Lord show me how to complete my life in love, patience, fellowship, and peaceful existence. And if none of these are what he wills, please grant me a memory of what the effort is about so I may willingly follow. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be the thought that created us. Blessed be your love which drives us towards the victory. Despair, though life throws a few curveballs your way. Even if truly oppressed by earthly masters, don't tear your clothes in anger. Count your blessings which derive from God. They may be overshadowed by troubles, but they are there. You must remember that your reward in heaven will far outshine even the best thing in this life. Count your blessings because God wants you to be happy. Count your blessings because God is there. By God's grace, we are created in His image. By God's grace, we live, work, and die. By God's grace, His arrows are in our quiver to fight Satan and everything he does in this world. By God's grace, we will enter His gates when we are done. With His grace alone is our existence justified. So, Lord, with your beacon of grace, you show us the way to live and how to die. Your example of coming down from heaven and living a life that you did not have to burns in our hearts and minds and shows us what you require. Please give us the strength to do what is necessary to carry out your will upon this earth and to fight the evil will of Satan and his minions. No matter what the trial, no matter what the tribulation, you are our God, and we are with you. In Christ's name we pray. And the people said, Amen.
I chose the beginning of Paul's letter to Philippians. Actually, you could choose any of Paul's letters with the exception of Galatians, because he was really angry in Galatians, when he wrote to Galatians. But we typically skip over the introduction. We say, this was the standard form back then. But there's a lot here, okay? So So will you read this with me? Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ Jesus, to God's holy people in Christ, Jesus and Philippi, together with overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, one of the reasons why I chose this today is to just reiterate that we're going to talk about this more in the message. Servants of Christ, Paul and Timothy aren't the only ones who are called to be servants. We all are. That word, by the way, is slave. Doulos is the word in the original language. And you would say, well, you know, listen, this doesn't fly today. You realize that. Because, you know, we're so enlightened. No, we're not. Being a slave of Christ means you're voluntarily, get that? You're voluntarily giving your life to him and following him because he loves you so much. It is not that this is something that you do because you're trapped. It is something you do because you realize at the cross, he gave his all for you and me because he loves you. And because of that love, we lovingly obey him back. And you know, a servant does the will of who? The master. Okay? We have to recover that, even in the church. Servant does the will of the master. To all God's holy people in Christ, that's the only reason why we're holy, at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. And then he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me suggest to you that the only reason we can have grace and peace is through a relationship, a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. You take Christ out of the picture, there is no peace. You take Christ out of the picture, there is no grace. The world wants to substitute for us, just like it's trying to do everything else, some artificial and bad substitutes for grace and peace. Isn't that true? So my prayer today is that God would use this in a way to prepare our hearts for the message today. Let me pray, just to give you an update. My sister-in-law, Gloria, who had a serious stroke, was transferred to the Rose Garden, Bailey. She's making tremendous progress by God's grace. Tremendous progress. They had her up walking in a walker a couple of days back, I guess. And her speech is just about normal. Some of you may have talked to her. You talked to her? She had the phone up there, so if you want to give her a call and encourage her, you can call her. She's eating real food, which thrills her no end. So I'm sure it's not like her cooking, but she's eating real food. Also, I found out another sister-in-law of mine had a mini stroke. So, you know, we're getting to that age, I guess, right, where things happen. The warranty runs out. And some of us have mileage. So we're gonna pray for that. We're going to pray for the people under the weather. We're also going to pray for our country today. You'll know why in a second, okay? And churches. There's no excuse for churches to be closed anymore. None. They shouldn't have closed in the first place. Secondly, people need to come back to church. This is a place, the only place, where you can hear the word of God preached, taught, and hopefully applied to our lives. And it's, you know, it's not just here, it's other like-minded churches. You know that I teach up in Toms River Community Church with Dr. Robert Fucci. We do the theological school up there. And they're committed to the gospel too. People need to be back in the church. Because here's what happens. The longer you stay away, the easier it is. You all know that. The what do you stay away? The first week you may say, I should be in church. Second week you say, starts at 10:30, I get up late. Yeah, maybe. And by the third week, it's like, gee, I wonder who's playing ball today. Yeah? We have to be careful. We all fall into this. So would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we're so thankful for the progress that Gloria has made. It's only by your grace, in your prayers, the prayers of your people. I pray, Father, that you keep making that right side strong, that you continue to bless her, encourage her as she recovers through a difficult time. Father, this is a woman who's conquered cancer twice. And she's a fighter, and she loves you. So, Father, strengthen her each and every day. My other sister-in-law, Father, I pray that news is better for her than just a mini stroke. But still, Father, we pray for complete healing. And, Father, I pray for our country. I pray for President Biden, Vice President Harris, our Congress, our Senate, Father. I pray that these people would finally yield to you and your wisdom. For leadership, for sound leadership, and biblical leadership. Father, I know that if the Lord Jesus Christ can save me, he can save anybody. So we pray for salvation of those in Washington, D.C. We pray, Father, that the relevance of your word would just stand out, especially today. And Father, this is not about politics. This is not about being a Democrat or a Republican, but this is about the truth of your word. And so, Father, as we look into Acts, I pray you bless this time. I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I got a feed this morning that the powers to be, again, I'm not making this political, I'm speaking on a principle here. The powers to be in our nation's capital, who are in power, have changed the name of mom. You are birthing people. You need to know this stuff. Is there a mom here who would be, let's say your children come up to you and say, hi, birthing person. Right? I mean, this is getting ridiculous, right? The term the Bible uses is mom and mother. Yeah? And we want to change that. For what? For power reasons? Acceptance reasons, this is crazy. Listen, I'm going to tell you something today you need to be aware of. And not politically, because it's starting to impact churches. The Southern Baptist Conference, which is the biggest denomination in America, is at war now between themselves over this stuff. It's not good. Not good. So we're gonna look at Acts today. Listen, let me just tell you some things up front. All right. First of all, moms, you are moms, right? And I'm glad for that. Everybody needs a mom, right? I don't need a birthing person. I need a mom. All right. You need a mom. Second of all, I want you to be aware. Very aware that some of what we're going to talk about this morning is being taught to your children in school. From college down to kindergarten. Now you say, well, what can we do with that? You can do a lot. You can do a lot. The worst thing we can do is nothing. Set up meetings with the superintendent of school if you're concerned. Go to your local congressman. I've sat with Chris Connors, a very gracious man, by the way, several times over these issues, and talked with him on the phone. This is not about politics. This is about attacking the very core of beliefs. And it's a serious situation. As I was preparing this, I posted this on Facebook earlier in the week. And as I'm praying through this and preparing for this, what came to mind was Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know if any of you have seen that post. Okay. This was at a time where the Jewish people were in exile, right? And what Nebuchadnezzar was smart, right? He was a Marxist, but he was smart, all right? And the first thing he tried to do, which he did, was change their names. Take away their identity. Cancel their names. That's the first thing he did. You know what the second thing he did was? Anybody remember Daniel? Educate them in their system, which was anti-God. Okay? The third thing they did was try to change their culture, and they tried that through education. So they tried to get them to be less Jewish, non-Jewish. Okay? And the fourth thing they did was, in that regard, was trying to change their diet, their food. If there's anything you remember about Daniel, remember this. That through it all, and I want to emphasize this, very respectfully, they refused to bow to the king. And they maintained who they were. Daniel and Meshach and Abednego and Shadrach prayed three times a day, not to the king, but to the living God. And God honored that. And you know, it wasn't pleasant to go through this. It cost Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a time in the furnace, right? In fact, the guards were burned by the heat of the furnace, putting them in. And the king asked this question. Where's your God now? Is he able to deliver you? And I love the answer. Very respectfully, by the way. Yes, my Lord, he's able to deliver us. But if not, he will be glorified. We're going to face some of these choices down the road. You know the story that the fire didn't touch them. Someone appearing like the Son of Man surrounded them, and the fire didn't touch them. Affected Nebuchadnezzar in a very positive way. And then poor Daniel in the lion's den. You refuse to bow to the king? See how you do with the lions. Well, you know the story, right? By the way, these aren't made-up stories. This is history. This actually happened where Daniel, of course, and the lion came out friends by God's grace. Listen to this. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care who's in Washington, D.C. In any case, we need to remain respectful. But know this. No one is going to cancel out the Lord Jesus Christ. No one. They may try. And they may try in different ways. But no one will cancel out the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. One of those. Do I have verse 21 in there? I think I might have omitted it. Let me read to you verse 21 of this passage. I'm doing this for a reason. Paul is looking back on the past as a time at Ephesus and how his life was transparent, how he proclaimed the whole counsel of God to the people, withholding nothing from them. And he says, in verse 21, I declare both to the Jews and the Greeks, or Gentiles, depending on your translation, that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. I want you to notice this. I declared the gospel to both the Jews and the Gentiles. At the cross, there's no room for prejudice. You know what the word for Greeks or Gentiles is? It's ethnos, which means nations. Paul is saying, listen, the gospel is open to everybody who will receive it. Man, that sounds inclusive to me, doesn't it? But it has to be on God's terms. But what do you mean, Pastor? There needs to be a repentance for sin, because all of us are sinners. And that sin has to be defined by the Bible, not by our culture. That sin has to be defined by the Word of God, not our culture. And we need to repent of sin and turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And personally receive him, because he paid the penalty for that sin on the cross. Listen, at the cross, all lives matter. All lives matter. Paul of Philippians put it this way. There is neither Jew nor Greek, rich or poor, slave or free person in the kingdom of God. All lives matter. I should get an amen for that. I don't care what color your skin is. Black, brown, Italian, white. I say that tongue in cheek, but I don't care. God saved you through Jesus Christ. And God, you know why? Because God created you. When you are created, you're created in his image. That image is damaged by our rebellion against God. We're all born with that rebellion. That's what we get from Adam. And in order to restore what was lost, Jesus died on the cross so we can have restored relationship with God through faith in Christ alone. Doesn't matter what color you are. One of the things that saddens my heart as a pastor is that churches are still the most segregated institutions in the world. When I understand when Dr. Paul Kofin filled in for me, he brought some people with him. Isn't that great to see?
Yeah.
I mean, from the black community, right?
Yeah.
That was great to see.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be, right? Oh, Latinos. Black, Asians, and for us, Italians, Greeks, whatever it is. Listen, God's not a respecter of persons, okay? Because all lives matter. Parents, beware of this critical race theory. And if you're not aware of it, I'm going to be spending time talking about it in prayer meeting. But if you're not aware of it, it is dangerous. It is very, very dangerous. It's couched under some false beliefs, some bad theology, as something good. But the bottom line is that it's teaching people to even become further divided and angry with each other. It's not good. I emailed Wednesday, the superintendent of Lacey Schools just to ask point blank, is critical race theory being taught in this district? Because I have some deep concerns. Not political, moral. Some real deep concerns I still haven't had an answer to. But I will get an answer. we'll get an answer. And then I'll probably ask for a meeting. This is dangerous stuff. Let's keep going. Can we agree that at the cross, all lives matter? I mentioned before that the call of a believer, when God calls a believer to faith in Christ, is a radical call. I mean radical with a capital R. The reason why it's radical is because it demands us to be countercultural in a lot of ways, right? Because the world system, as we're finding out more and more each day, is basically anti-God. And it's under the supervision of guess who? Satan. That's what the Bible says. I'm not saying this. That's what the Bible says, right? And listen, as the culture continues to try to shove the Bible out, Jesus, the name of Jesus out, the name of God out, and they're trying very hard to do this, life may get very interesting for all of us who profess to know Christ. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And here it is. Paul saying to the elders, now behold, I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. The Holy Spirit is calling Paul now to go to Jerusalem. And Paul is saying, you know, he's not saying to God, they'll kill me if I go back. No, Paul, you're going back. And without question, I mean, Paul is very honest here, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Spirit witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions will abide me. In other words, they await me. There's going to be a cost for standing for the truth. You may be called names. They may try to cancel you. They may try to say, well, you're irrelevant. The Bible has no relevance for today. Well, that's what you believe. And yeah, it is what I believe. But don't tell me what I should believe. You have a right to believe what you want. But don't tell me what I should believe. You know? It's crazy. Now listen to me. The reason why I use Daniel and his companions as an illustration is because what they did, they stood their ground and they did it respectfully. And you and I need to do whatever we do respectfully. Because the moment we don't do it respectfully, we will not be heard. And it's important. Because things may get sticky down the road. However, this is what Paul says. I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race. Get that? Finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news, the gospel of God's grace. Paul is saying, hey, here's the bottom line. I'm not here for me. I'm here because God called me here, and I'm here because he gave me the commission to bring the gospel to other people. And I'm not going to rest until that's done, no matter what's ahead for me. Listen, Paul was not a super saint. He was human, just like you and me. If anybody had reason to quit, he did. How many times was he beaten and left for dead? How many times he was thrown in prison and went without a fair trial? How many times was he forced to leave the town because they wanted to kill him? We probably would have said, that's it, I give up, I'm going home. But we can't give up. I don't care how bad it gets out there. The fact of the matter is that Christ died for out there. And we need to be the mouthpiece that points people to the grace of Jesus Christ. Because that's out there is only hope. And you know how things get changed? One heart at a time. That's how things get changed. One heart at a time. Why do you think Jesus says pray for your enemies? Because only God can change the hearts of evil. Why do you think God says pray for your leaders, your government leaders? Because only God can change the hearts of people. You see where I'm going with this, all right? Listen, we're the winners. We know the end of the story. We're the winners. If Christ be for us, who can be against us? And then later in that passage in Romans, Paul says, we are more than what? Conquerors in Christ Jesus. How does this apply to us? Don't compromise on your convictions that are based in the Bible. Don't compromise. You don't have to. Don't be ashamed. You can say very humbly and very accurately, I serve my Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to betray him. No matter what. Why? Because he died for me on the cross. And everything he said here is true. Everything he says is true. More verses here. He's telling the elders, he says, now I know that none of you among whom I am going, have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. In other words, Paul knew this was the last time he was going to see them. Therefore, I declare to you today, I am innocent of the blood of any of you. Now, that may be a little confusing to you, but here's why he's proclaiming that. He has not hesitated to proclaim the whole will of God to the people. In other words, he's saying, you heard it, you know it, now it's up to you what you're going to do with it. It's up to you. You know the other thing occurred to me? Sometimes I can be as thick-headed as anybody else, right? The other thing that occurred to me was not to be afraid to preach this stuff because I don't even know if I'm going to see you next week. That's just the truth. I'm not going anywhere, but if God calls me home, I would be remiss not to tell you about this stuff, right? I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Last time I looked, the Bible said that he created male and female. Last time I looked, it was the female who gives birth. Not a birthing person, but a mom. Last time I looked, if you're born a male, you're male. If you're born a female, you're female. The last time I looked, it seemed to me God ordained and created marriage. Last time I looked, it seems to me that God says many times in his Bible, and Jesus says it too, that you and I have a problem. And that is that we inherit the sin nature from Adam. That rebellious nature. The nature that thinks that God doesn't know what he's talking about. God can't really mean what he says. Isn't that what happened in the garden? God doesn't really mean what he says. Last time I looked, the only way to have a personal relationship with God the Father that has been breached by our own rebellion and sin is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. because Jesus paid the penalty, the full penalty, for my sin and yours on the cross of Christ. Last time I looked, the call to Christ is a radical call. Last time I looked, I don't think it's changed, although we'd like it to change. You know, I believe that the church has been guilty since the late 60s of becoming a spectator church. And what I mean by that is we want these great, great big services. We want good praise people. We want this and that. So forgive me. So I can come for an hour and you know, leave with a smile on my face. Boy, you know, music was great. You know, hey, listen, we should do best we can. No question about it. But if the reason we are here is anything other than to have an encounter with the living God through Jesus Christ, then we're here for the wrong reason. We are here for the wrong reason. At the end of every service, I say a benediction. And the reason for a benediction, what does benediction mean? Does anybody know? Yeah, it's a parting blessing. You get a gold star. It's a parting blessing.
The best thing that's happened to me all
week. There you go. And that is to say that, you know, church, we're on a mission. Go into your world and preach the gospel. If necessary, by words. In other words, live it. And then when you have opportunity, share it. Teaching them everything that Christ has taught you through his word. And baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's our commission. I just want to look at one other thing real quick. Let me just get my bearings here. I forgot my notes again. There's a verse, I don't know if I skipped over it, let me just say. Okay. We're going to go over this again next week, but I want to leave you with this. Verse 28. Let me go to verse 28. This is talking about what's going to happen in the future. This is happening to us now. Okay? Oh, you okay out there? Keep watch over yourselves and on all your flocks, talking to the elders, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God. And what's this last phrase? How many of you are shocked at the value of houses today? Yeah, okay, Kristen, you're honest. Listen, you know, you go to buy a house today, you're paying a whole lot of money. But Jesus bought the church with the blood of his Son. Church is relevant. Church is important. Everyone needs to be back to church. We'll stop it there for today. My prayer is that we don't take for granted what God has done for us in Christ. That we get a little bit more glimpse of his incredible love for us, but he's called us to something greater than ourselves. You know, I don't even know if they're still popular anymore because I couldn't stand them when I was young. But how many of you remember the soap operas? Right? As the stomach turns, right? Days of Our Lives, you know, all of that. My mother used to watch them all. And the reason why they were so popular is because people caught up in the everyday stuff of life wanted to be something part of bigger than themselves. They were kind of voyeuristic, if I can put it that way. You know, soap operas, I don't know which ones are still on the air, but if I saw it 40 years ago, if I tuned in tomorrow, I'd know everything that was going on, right?
Same guy still on trial.
Yeah, same guy still. Or he died and he came back from the dead. You know?
Right,
I mean, it's crazy. But people, we are built with this innate thing that we want to be part of something bigger, and we want our lives to matter. Well, watching soap operas isn't the way to do it. Following the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and through his grace is the way to do it. Because we become part of something very big, bigger than ourselves. And then God will bring us to a point where we'll say, Lord, I'm not that important. What is more important is what you want me to do. Would you help me, please, finish the race that you have called me to? It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Holy Spirit, help me. And by his grace, when we let him, he'll do that by grace alone. Ladies, Chip, would you come up? Sharon? On this last song, if you're able, I'd like you to speak. And sing this prayer for the Lord. But please, we'll talk a little bit more about this on Tuesday and a little bit more on Sunday. Be aware, parents, grandparents, what your children are being taught in school.
Prayer and step of faith.
benediction. Paul did a great one right in the middle of his letter to the church of Ephesus. And he says this: to him who is able, God is able. Right? He's all powerful. To him who is able to do, God's not a spectator. He does. God is able to do more, exceedingly more, than we could ever expect or imagine. Isn't that true? This didn't take God by surprise. Jesus is still in control. And he's going to have the last word.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says to him, be all the glory and honor in Christ Jesus.
Yep.
Amen.
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 You're dismissed. Have a great day. Enjoy the beautiful weather.